Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hello and welcome to another Third Apron podcast. I'm your host, Yossi Goslin. This is team 8 of my off-season preview series. And joining me from last year will be Matt Moore to discuss the Nuggets. We are going to discuss their off-season and then get into a mock off-season. All that and more coming up. Matt, thank you for joining me again. How are you doing? And how are you feeling about the Nuggets after this season and just their general outlook?
I mean, it's a disaster. I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I'm glad for the season to be heading towards an end. Playoffs have been great. Looking forward to it. But from a Nuggets perspective, the first round exit to the Minnesota Timberwolves in six games, then missing Anthony Edwards, Dante DiVincenzo, and Io Desumnu at the end, means that the Nuggets are going to have to make big changes. David Adelman will be retained as coach, and as such, roster changes are almost assured at this point. They're going to speak to the media tomorrow. Josh Kroenke, owner, governor, Ben Tenzer, and John Wallace, the front office, as well as David Adelman, are going to speak with the media on Friday. So I'll be at that, and we'll have a little bit more details, hopefully some insight into what they're planning. Probably not anything in particular, but just like more certainty on who is on and off the table. But as of right now, our assumption is that everyone is on the table except for Nikola Jokic this summer.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty, this loss was a pretty existential view on how much left of being a true contender is left of this team. And now I'm not sure, because after last season, you know, the Nuggets were also entering somewhat of a crossroads. I'm not sure if a lot of people saw it. I was definitely like kind of putting out the warning signs that this roster starts to get pretty expensive now. Jamal Murray's max extension just kicked in. They were going to be right up against the second apron. And if they didn't do anything, this team was going to be extremely expensive to run back. And so they traded Michael Porter Jr. and a first to the Nets for Cam Johnson, which was a move that you actually, I don't know if it was like a prediction, but you definitely suggested it on my show last year. So maybe you'll strike gold again this time. And, you know, gave them a good replacement level wing, saved them $17 million, the flexibility to sign Jonas Valanciunas, trade for Jonas Valanciunas, but overall trading a pick to get off who was the best player in the deal, not a good move. For subsidizing it to make the space for Jonas Valanciunas didn't really work out. So now seems that all it really did was help them get under the tax. Like that was the big thing. I don't think it's really talked about. Like the Nuggets, they were able to field like a pretty pretty deep roster, and I thought they would go further than this, but this is the other tension now, their payroll. They have the payroll issues are here front and center. Something's going to happen at the top with the top six guys. So knowing that this roster is going to be different to some degree, what is your feel on their willingness to spend? Do you think there's a specific threshold, whether it's the second apron, the tax, that you think they're going to hardline adhere to?
I think this is a tough one. I think that if there is a way for them to feel like, yes, we are absolutely going to be better, we are definitely going to be a real contender, they will spend. By getting under the tax this year, as you know, being the cap guy, they only need another year under the tax to break the repeater. And that's going to be a big old juicy carrot to Stan Kroenke. That will be a very big carrot to him. I think that if they cannot find a way to add talent where they go, yes, we are stacked, we are there, they are likely to try and find a way to at least be in position at the deadline to move under the tax.
That's what I'm worried about too. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's the whole mm-hmm. Jokic extension. Maybe that could. We'll get into that and see how that might relate to this. But you touched on it. They ducked the tax last season, and they because they were spending a lot of tax in the previous years. They were in the tax for 3 years. They're in the designated as repeater. Even though they got under it, they need to get up one more, and then that would set up 3 years they could be having the standard rates like they did between 23 and 25. So it's tough. I would say that for sure the hard line's the second apron, but it's going to be really tough for them to field a competitive roster while saving like an additional $12 million. There's a lot of hoops they got to jump through if they got to duck the tax. And it's definitely attainable. We'll see what they could accomplish. But it's different last year where they had that first round pick to trade, which was, you know, 7 years out in the future. There's a lot of extrinsic value with that much time. They were able to get that Porter Jr. trade done. They don't have a pick that valuable now. Only their with the 26th overall pick in this draft, I think they'll be a lot more limited towards saving significant money. So we'll see what they could end up doing. As far as you got kind of like two tiers as far as the types of moves that they would have to do. On the bottom, you've got the guys, which is like Christian Brown, who they're probably stuck with, especially if they don't have a valuable pick to trade. And then more likely between Cam Johnson and Peyton Watson. Peyton Watson's restricted. Cam Johnson has already been rumored as a potential guy the Nuggets could dump, so they could then re-sign Peyton Watson while staying keeping the roster within whatever budget it is. So how would you prioritize that cohort? I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dry what to do. What is your solution there?
I mean, my preference would be for them to probably retain Cam Johnson and Peyton Watson, because I think Cam Johnson is an extremely valuable player. And, you know, Christian's contract is prohibitive. But all of these conversations are about what is the front office willing to pay, not what do they have to do in order to field a good team. And that's annoying because it's just like, hey, you're the richest landowner in the United States. Why don't you just pay the tax, bud? That's my personal position. But if we're talking about the reality of how the owners will view the punitive, so difficult system, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Who put this system in place? Oh, it was the owners? Oh, it was the owners. Oh, that's right. Oh, so it's really hard for you to pay into the system you helped design. Got it. If we're looking at that.
Yeah.
Look, the answer is that you trade Jamal Murray because you have to change the makeup of the core. You trade Aaron Gordon and Cam Johnson because you're trying to alleviate salary pressures and Aaron's lack of availability. Cam goes instead of Peyton Watson because Watson is younger, has more upside. I don't like this line of thinking, but I understand it of the, well, Peyton Watson could be anything. He could even be Cam Johnson. I get annoyed at that line of thought, but it's like, I am kind of accepting of it as like, yeah, you have to move on from Cam to keep Peyton.
So
you have to choose both, but yeah.
Normally I don't pull up the spreadsheets in part one, but I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to do it again in part two, where just to show where things are right now, I just want to show what keeping Peyton Watson while running it back does. And they could waive Jonas Valanciunas, very small partial guarantee. But let's just say they wanted to run it back. You keep Peyton Watson. Hypothetically, let's just give Peyton Watson the same salary as Cam Johnson. You're looking at something. It says like a $380 million roster. You can basically call it like $450 because they also still need to fill in three roster spots. It starts to get even more punitive. It's going to get like, this is the real issue with the system. It's not so much, well, they're going to be over the second apron. Yeah, they're going to be over the second apron. They made the tax rates even higher for the deeper you go and the repeater rates even more punitive. So even especially knowing this ownership group, very unlikely they'll spend this much money, which then the thing is you can get rid of Cam Johnson. You could replace him with Peyton Watson's next contract, but it might not be quite enough. So then you start to get into potentially Murray and Gordon, and not necessarily just for to change the makeup of the roster, to change how things are going, shake things up, but there's still like some factors because Peyton is restricted that makes it a little difficult to keep him. They might need to save a little bit more money. So, you know, I was going to ask you like, where do you feel on that what is the priority? And you seem pretty confident. Like they should probably shake, not only trade one of those guys, trade both of them.
I think they're going to. I don't think that they should, but I think they're going to. I think one of the interesting questions, and I'm curious as to your thoughts on this. Last year, everyone squeezed the restricted free agents, but they still wound up paying them between 20 and 25 million. My thought is, like, if I'm the Nuggets, I am putting out there, we're keeping paying Watson no matter what. Here, you trade Cam Johnson first, because you're just like, hey, we traded him just so we have money to do this. Save your time. We're going to make you wait 3 full days. We're going to take 3 days away from you where you can't commit to anything, and then we're going to match. We'll hurt you so bad if you try and squeeze him. And then I try and squeeze him, and I honestly try, like, I hate this because Peyton's played great and deserves to get a big contract, but this is the reality of the situation. If you're asking me to game theory it, it's you squeeze the ever-loving life out of Peyton Watson. Like, you squeeze the absolute blood from stone to get that number down is what the Nuggets should do.
So I'm going to, when we get into Peyton Watson, I have a projection for him. It's kind of in line with what Jabari Smith just got, what Keegan Murray just got, but I would guess because he's restricted, he's not going to have quite as much leverage as them. It's probably going to come down a little lower, but if you want to talk about, like, oh, here's what this guy's making, then you could point to that and say, okay, he could play to the value. So he'll probably still get something pretty lucrative, but as far as, like, how the process can go, we saw with, like, the Warriors and Kuminga and with the Sixers and Grimes, their offseason was pretty much held hostage because they didn't want to make other moves, just mainly so they, they don't trigger any hard cap. And then maybe another team makes an offer that they know that those teams won't match, and then they lose them. With the Nuggets, it's a little different because they're probably not going to, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll be adhered to a hard cap, which is probably the second apron, maybe the tax. But I would imagine there is a number, just because the Nuggets payroll is already so high, that situation is already so sensitive, that there probably is something, like a line that the Nuggets just won't match. So, and then I think Watson fits a lot more than some of the play. Like, you could put him on more teams a lot. It should translate a lot better than some of the players last year's restricted free agency. So I would imagine there's going to be a little more interest, but restricted free agency is still super tough. So I would guess the Nuggets ultimately get him back on something. They'll get him back, but also on something that, like, maybe people see as, whoa, they got him on that deal? Okay, good for them.
Yeah, like I said, I just think you have to go further than that. I think you have to make this uncomfortable. I think you have to, like, and I can assure you his representation and the people in his group would just be furious, to the point of I wouldn't be shocked if the qualifying offer became a conversation. But if they can just wait out everybody else, if the Lakers go for somebody else and the Nets are like, we have another plan, and the Bulls go in a different direction, if you can get rid of those three suitors, then you can probably start to be like, you know, hey, this is the reality. There's no market out there. Go get yourself an offer.
I think the way they get that leverage would be if they go ahead and do at least a Jamal Murray or Aaron Gordon trade, and you save a bunch of money. Yes. Because if you get your payroll low enough, then another team, they'll feel less inclined to waste their time, their flexibility.
Yeah. You have to signal so hard, we're doing whatever it takes to keep Peyton Watson. He is the future of this franchise. Even if you're about to drastically underpay him and piss him off. That is how you have to do this, which, again, really ridiculous that this is, like, how businesses should be done. But when you look at the CBA, this is the reality of it.
So then the other thing, and then we could get into the mock off season, because, you know, I don't think there's too much more bigger picture stuff. I think we're on the same page at, like, somewhat of a shakeup, maybe not quite as aggressive as, like, trading three starters will happen, but I definitely one, or, and I would say probably two, get moved. There's the whole Jokic element of this. I would guess that if the Nuggets had their choice, they would probably keep Murray and Gordon. I think if Murray and Peyton Watson were both healthy, do you think that, would you say that this Nuggets team, as constructed, if it was fully healthy and Gordon and Watson were both healthy, were able to play together extended minutes, which I think they would. Would you consider that lineup with Brown, or maybe if Johnson and would have replaced Brown eventually, would you consider that the best defensive lineup they had put around Jokic in this decade, perhaps?
No, and this is the problem. We are 3 years removed from the title when Jamal was 3 years younger and better there defensively, and Jokic was 3 years younger and better defensively. And that's the thing that's staring them in the face is, in my opinion, you cannot have a competent 15th or better defense with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic on the team anymore. You can't do it. You can't. It's not possible. What teams did is, and there's this idea of like, well, if we just surround them with the right guys, no, because you're still going to have to switch 1-4. And the minute you switch 1-4, Jamal Murray is on the ball handler, and then they run it into the 1-5. You can hide him, and then they just force the switch. They switch Hunt Murray down because they're not good at scramming switches. They're good at rejecting switches because Murray doesn't have the ability to navigate that physically. And then you run him back, and then all of a sudden you've got Murray and Jokic in a pick and roll, and now you're toast. Or you've got Murray, honestly, being ISO'd, blown past, and there's no rim protection because Joker can't and won't, both things are true, protect the rim. Joker literally doesn't try, in part because the argument is like, well, he picks up fouls, you have to keep him out of foul trouble, but also I just don't think he wants to, just doesn't want to do it. He just watches guys score. So you've got no way to protect them. You have to fundamentally break up this core because Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic cannot be viable together defensively anymore.
So in that case, a little bit back to the spending, because Jokic has the extension eligibility, I expect he'll extend. You last year were saying, you were talking about, I asked you like, you know, do you ever think Jokic would, if there could ever be like a tension with the front office based on moves they make or don't make and the level of spending, and you said that this is kind of like above his pay grade. Like he just never would seem interested in getting involved in that type of thing or like putting his thumb in the scale. But this is he will have the most leverage ever this summer with the extension eligibility. Has your position on that changed as far as like the willingness to, if like there could be a tension with the willingness to spend, especially with how sensitive things are this offseason?
No, he's kind of going things on a goodwill here of he feels that he's gotten enough assurances to not have to worry about leverage. The only things that he's like said that won't commit is he doesn't want to say, I will sign the extension in case they put provisions in it that try and cheap out. If they're like, well, we'd like you to take a pay cut on X, Y, or Z, or we removed your bonuses, blah, 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 blah. Just a responsibility to yourself standpoint, you can't do that. If they offer him the max of what they can, which they will, he'll sign it. Like he's pretty clear about that. He said repeatedly, I want to be a Nugget forever. There's just no indication that he has any intention of going somewhere else. To me, I've always kind of thought like part of it is, does sitting by the pool in LA seem nice rather than in Colorado in the winter? Sure. Is that enough for him to care? No. Like I just don't think he cares enough. And I think that the idea of moving sounds like a hassle. Getting used to new things sounds like a hassle to him. So I think he stays. I am confident that Nikola Jokic will remain in Denver Nugget, at least to start the next.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Extension.
So I think we should just get into the mock off season then. Usually I think there's a little more, like a lot with a lot of teams, there's like a little more to discuss as far as like the general outlook. But I think we're both in agreement. Like there's going to be some major construction. We might as well just really start exploring what those things could look like. Yep. So let's get the spreadsheet back up. So once again, they got 11 players rostered so far, including the partially guaranteed salary. Jonas Valanciunas, just $2 million guaranteed. So $61 million luxury tax penalty right now. And that is because they're in the repeater tax, just like filling up the rest of the roster. Let's just say they did nothing else and they wanted to like add a couple of veteran minimums. That's already almost almost $50 million more in tax, just to understand how punitive this stuff is. And, you know, whether people watching this want to be upset at the Nuggets for whatever spending or lack of spending they're going to do, that's just the reality. And we could pretty much expect that maybe they spend a little bit, but it's not going to be something super, super expensive. They're right at the second apron, which kind of feels like this is the highest end of what their payroll would be, about $216 million. And I already showed what adding Peyton Watson would do. Very untenable stuff. So, Matt, before we start doing some moves, we need to make some roster decisions, mainly on Jonas Valanciunas and Pickett. Let's just start with Valanciunas because that one's the bigger one. He's got a $2 million non-guarantee, and it's got like an early guarantee date, like early July, that it would become fully guaranteed to $10 million. Can we agree that they're going to cut him or trade him?
They're going to trade him, I think, probably, and dump him somewhere. That's probably what they'll do, is they'll include him in some sort of deal to a team that is willing to take him on to clear him out. But yeah, he will not be on the roster next year.
Yeah, just did not factor in that series with the Wolves. So they can either cut him and then they incur a $2 million partial. I don't know about if they'll be able, they have some seconds to trade. So they could do a salary, they could try to find the team willing to take it. They have 3 second round picks. And then just to go over their draft pick situation, only one tradable first round pick, which is their 26th first round pick, due to step-in rules, because they have outgoing picks in 27, 29, 32, you cannot trade consecutive picks, which means all the picks next to their outgoing picks are untradeable. So maybe they could find a taker with the second round picks to clear that extra $2 million. But one other thing they could do is stretch that $2 million. So he's got that $2 million partial guarantee. I'll just put V. It's just $2 million divided by three, because it's 1 year left. It's like the times two plus one. So you basically save like almost, you know, over $9 million by doing this. The only thing is then you have that 666,000 dead cap it for two more seasons. I don't like stretching, but for that little amount, I feel like that is the path of least resistance, that they'll probably just end up doing that. Nah, what do you think?
I think it's, you trade him somewhere that's willing to take it on for like a second rounder. I think you dump a second rounder and you get the whole thing cleared.
All right. So the Nuggets now have 2 second rounders. They clear that $2 million completely. Now, then Jalen Pickett, he's got the team option. So with him, if they pick it up, he's actually going to be making less than his minimum. I think you got to decide if you want to run it back with him or not. But then two, if you do, I think it would make sense just to pick it up. The reason is that if they decline him and resign him, then the veteran minimum is actually like a $50,000 more than this. So he's actually making a little less than his minimum, because the salary cap's gone further than his minimum salary. What do you want to do with Jalen?
Dump him. Decline. All right. Clearing it off. Jalen's developed. Jalen's done a really good job. Jalen, I think, will be a good player in this league. This is entirely a consequence of money, 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 money.
All right. So the Nuggets have now cleared roughly $12 million in flexibility. They are closer to, maybe we'll see what else we end up doing, but they now have a lot more room and a lot more leverage in Peyton Watson negotiations. So let's start with Jokic one more time. I just want to go over the extension. So with Jokic, this is the extension that he is eligible for. He's going to be on an expiring salary, $59 million. He can get a 5% raise off that amount. And then with the 8% raises, he can get a maximum of 4 years, $76.9 million. If the cap is projected to go up a little more, then it might be a little more than this. But for now, this is probably what it is. 4 for $278, basically. So typically with a player getting a 35% max in his 30s, you might fear, or could there be like any age-related regression decline? Maybe we're starting to see that with Jokic, but he's an all-time great. Age-related decline doesn't really apply to players like him. Even if he's not quite in his peak form, I'd still expect him to continue at least being the regular season machine he is through his age. This would be his age 36 season. So I figure that offer is going to be on the table. He's going to get it. Any worries about how this deal might age?
He's Nikola Jokic. No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Taking my chances with the three-time MVP. We're good.
So he'll get this extension. It'll be on the table, and I anticipate he'll accept it. So then, Peyton Watson. So as I mentioned earlier, I figure that he's going to point to like what Jabari Smith has gotten, Keegan Murray got in their recent deals, which is in like the 24 to 27 range, something like that. So this is kind of like what he quote unquote, I feel like deserves based on those valuations. But I think there's a very good chance, and for reasons you stated earlier as well, that he's got a lot less leverage, and I think he's going to get something less than that. But I just want to put this up as kind of like, I guess, the higher end outcomes of what a deal could look like. I want to touch in a little more into the Nuggets' vulnerable situation. I mentioned about like the Warriors with Kuminga, the Sixers with Grimes. They did nothing because they didn't want to, because they already had like relatively high payrolls. They didn't want to give teams any inkling of, oh, if you give this team this amount because they're X amount below the apron, then that's all it takes to steal them. So with the Nuggets, I think they're going to have to do something, a very pretty big significant move in order to fit in Watson, not only dumping Cam Johnson, but also moving off one of their bigger players like Gordon or Murray to gain a little bit more leverage, more flexibility. So no one will want to even feel interested in wasting and putting the time to give him an offer sheet. I do feel like there's still a chance that they might lose Watson, because the likelihood of them trading Johnson plus trading Gordon and Murray and getting like sufficient deals, it's a lot of hoops. So I wouldn't rule out like they might just let him go. Maybe they get something back in a sign and trade. But generally, like, what you already said what you want to do, but as far as like his contract, would you feel okay with this at the higher end, or like would you? I suppose, like, what is your kind of feeling like on an annual range you'd want to lock him into?
3 years, $54 million, player option, fourth year.
So roughly $18 million a year.
AAV, $18 million. You are squeezing the life out of him.
I wouldn't rule that out. I think that's definitely something in play. We'll see. There is a lot of like restricted free agency hype right now. Like maybe the Nets want to make him a big offer. But again, it's up to the Nuggets
A fun question here is whether he says, I don't like, instead of the guaranteed, because this is the one you're supposed to get the guaranteed on, but he's going to get such a lower amount than you want. Does he come back and say, I want 2 years, 18, and a team option or a player option for third year, just to get back into free agency as quickly as possible? Like, that's like the interesting question here is, does Peyton take more guaranteed at a lower AAV to ensure that generational money, or does he take a shorter term to try and get back on the market as soon as possible? That to me is like a really interesting question, because this is so far, like, think about where he's at and where Christian Brown's value is at right now. And Christian would be making $7 million more per year under this.
Yeah.
It's rotten.
And that's why
restricted free agency is so unethical. Can we just like make sure to like emphasize this about how unethical restricted free agency is? This stuff is nasty. I hate it. It's so rotten.
And I do unfortunately think we're going to see more teams willing to put their, yeah, do restricted free agency. With Watson, it was just so hard to come up with an extension figure a year ago, yep, because, you know, I would imagine something would have been like around the mid-level at most, you know, and for him, how, you know, that maybe you're probably at that point better off testing the market, playing another year, and it worked. But again, there's just still a lot of uncertainty. He's got a $6.5 million qualifying offer. So I would guess that he can probably get a little more of an AAV, an annual salary, if he's getting squeezed. But let's say it's like, you know, maybe a four-year deal that's slightly more than, that's around this range. It's still way more than that qualifying offer. Like, I don't think the qualifying, I think his qualifying offer is just like too low for that to really be that.
Why don't we bump it to 20? Let's do 3 years with the player option at 20 million. And that still gives him the option, if he thinks he can go get a max, to get out by like, what, 26? That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. And I think that ended up being like a pretty, I would expect that to be a pretty good bargain for the Nuggets. So I don't need to like, I don't need to change it right now, but I kind of agree with you. I feel like I wanted to show like what he probably, again, quote unquote, deserve. It doesn't really matter. Like what his value probably is, it might be a little closer to with the cap going up. But the reality is, yeah, he could very much get something a lot closer to this. Like okay. When you're faced with, hey, take this $6.5 million versus maybe like, let's say $60 million in a short amount of time. Like it's hard. It's a hard decision to say no to at this stage in his career.
If the Lakers swing out on everybody and or the Nets just decide, screw it, we have it to spend, and they throw 4 years, 120, the Nuggets have to bail. Like they have to. That's what's really tough about this, is that in order to telegraph they're going to keep him, to keep the suitors away, they have to clear the space in advance. But if some team comes through and says, we don't care, that's how highly we think of him, you could wind up losing all of them.
Yeah. So I just don't envy the Nuggets offseason. This is so hard.
It's brutal.
This is, there's like so, there's so many ways this can go, and they're probably not going to be right on everything. It's just, it's so tough. But if they, I think getting the Peyton Watson thing right, which is one, keeping him, I'm with you there, and getting and being able to bring him back on a really nice deal, that's probably like right under re-signing Jokic, probably like really paramount. But it's also, keeping Watson is, again, it goes hand in hand with other big moves. So let's get into it. Do you want to announce the trade that you came up with that you would love for the Nuggets to explore?
Okay. I don't love any of this. It's all disgusting, but we got to do it. First one. This is what we're going to do. We're sending Jamal Murray, Zeke Nnaji, and a pick swap. Okay. There's limitations on it, but it is a protected pick swap. We could do the 2030. I think is probably a good year to do it. They still retain their pick in 2030. They do not owe one then. So the 2030 pick swap goes out in this. And so the Blazers get the best player. They have to take out Zeke Nnaji, who's still a like viable young player, and they get a pick. In return, they are sending Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, Chris Murray, and Vic Krejci.
So here is the trade that Matt laid out. I've got it all illustrated here. The Nuggets are bringing in Drew Holiday, Scoot Henderson, Chris Murray, and Vic Krejci, who's got a non-guaranteed salary. And they're sending out Jamal Murray, Zeke Nnaji, their first-round pick in this year's draft, the 26th overall pick, and a 2030 first-round pick swap. So with a couple things, this, I think, would be a very, very nice return for Murray. He just had his first All-Star season, his best season, in my opinion. And this would be a relative high now to move on from him. I have a lot of qualms with his contract, despite how well he is. So I would view this as like a very good exit for Murray. And, you know, you mitigate any risk from any potential decline there. You get off that contract early and you're bringing in multiple guards who will be on Drew Holiday's on a much smaller salary. You know, he might be a little overpaid, but there's only another year left before that player option. So you've got some option to maybe restructure his deal there if he declines it. And then Scoot Henderson, who's going to be extension eligible either way, he's going to be earning a lot less. You are getting a lot more physicality, a lot more perimeter defense, completely changing the style of the Nuggets. Like what is your vision of like how far this team could go? There's still more moves to be made, but yeah, like what is your overall like vision on how this can, like the overall upside on the Nuggets starting with this? Yeah.
So there's another deal coming up, but this one is you get Drew Holiday, who is a competent shooter who can play on the perimeter, who's a better point of attack defender. So you remove that defensive liability with Jokic. Henderson is the big ask here, and after him having a 30-point game in the, or two 30-point games, I think, in the playoff series versus San Antonio, this is probably where the deal breaks down, and Portland's like, we'll keep the number two overall pick, thanks. But I do think that there's a possibility of them being like, wait, we get Jamal Murray. Yes, they're partnering him with Damian Lillard. I understand like those complications, but if you're like, we have an awesome defense, we can make it work. It's Dame and it's Jamal. If you don't get Giannis, I think that makes it work for them. For the Nuggets, you have this ability to be like, hey, Drew, if you need the night off, Scoot Henderson moves into the starting lineup. He's going to be our future at point guard. Murray comes in for more physicality. If we keep Vit Krejci, if we don't need to waive him for the extra money, we've got a pure shooter that can play off the bench. This works in a lot of ways. You're sacrificing even more draft capital. You're compromising even more of the future. But that's the cost of doing business when you have Nikola Jokic and you have limited assets because you traded 4 second-round picks to get rid of Reggie Jackson because Calvin Booth is a maniac. So I think you're in a really good position here to be able to kind of move forward, at least from a competency standpoint. You lose all of the two-man game. You give up the best player, but you're getting asset in Scoot Henderson. You're getting stability in Drew Holiday, and you're getting complementary pieces to fill out the depth.
So this, on the Blazers side of things, it would be somewhat of a departure of what they're already got going on, like a lot of defensive personnel, but they have a lot of defensive personnel still, despite if they were to make this deal. And if they do find some... get a big offensive infusion, which I anticipate they'll look for this offseason. Most likely, minutes are going to come away from some of their defense-first guys. So they'd have to really like Murray to do this. But you know, they're not. But they're also getting some draft equity back to help compensate. There is the Zeke Nnaji aspect, so you know we'll see about that. He still has another year left. I will say, though, the Nuggets do have a way that they could get more draft picks. I don't know if I ever pitched this to you last year, and you could tell me what you think, where they could make a trade with the Thunder where they could do like some kind of pick swaps. They can do stuff where maybe the Nuggets trade their 2030, and then they can get back like some of the maybe their own picks in that are in the more near term, like, so, or maybe like, it's like, okay, how about the Nuggets? They trade 2032. And then, I think if they, and then it's like something they get back like 27 and 29. I'm trying to think what that might be, but there is something I might be off on the Stepien element of it, but I think there is something to be done where the Nuggets can trade like a valuable far out pick to get more raw, but less value first round picks that could help push more deals like this. What's your thought on that?
That's absolutely what they should do. Was it the Suns that did this last year? Whoever it was, they traded their first round pick for multiple picks. That to me is like the way to go. Is like, you just need assets to be able to make all these deals work. So absolutely, trading this year's pick for multiple picks, trading a 2032 for multiple picks is absolutely the way that they should go about it. Like, that is what they should do. Is you just need volume of assets. One of the big things that are involved in all these deals that I'm looking at is not only clearing money, but trying to break the deals into smaller components so they are more switchable, because they are so front heavy with Jokic and Murray and Gordon and Brown that you have to break these things up into smaller components that you can then move out later. And to help facilitate that, you need more picks. So yes, I am 100% with you. They should be pursuing that.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kind of an angle.
All right. And then we have an Aaron Gordon trade plus Cam Johnson. So we are sending both of them to the Miami Heat, or maybe some third teams get involved. Either way, the Heat are involved, where the Nuggets are getting back Andrew Wiggins, Davion Mitchell, and Kasperis Jakučionis. I'll leave the floor to you on this one.
All right, so Miami's gearing up for free agency in 27 and 28, right? And they are getting rid of this Andrew Wiggins $30 million contract, but Cam takes off another $23 million off of the cap. They can also probably move Aaron Gordon at the expiring if they get a line that, like, oh, this star is willing to come here. They can move Aaron pretty easily on an expiring contract, attach a pick, and they'll be able to move off of that deal. They're giving up Davion Mitchell, which hurts. They're gonna want to do other stuff with Tyler Herro and or figure out what they want to do with Norman Powell in his new deal. But this gives the think about who what this gives the Nuggets in terms of point of attack defenders. You've got Jrue Holiday, Davion Mitchell, Scoot Henderson. That's your guard lineup. Christian Brown probably goes to the bench, at least in a provisional format, to be like, you're gonna play your way back into the starting lineup. I think that Christian will have a much better season next year. But that's like, he's probably got to earn it. I love Davion's versatility. I want to take a shot on a guy like Davion Mitchell, where it's like, what if he's like way better? Like, what? Like, he was bad in Sacramento, was good in Toronto for a couple weeks, and then really good with Miami. Can shoot, can pass, can get downhill, and nickname's Off Night. You're automatically fixing this. You got a young prospect in Kasperos Jakachonis you can take a shot on. Wiggins is just like a veteran player that you're paying for 1 year in order to take on the salary. You're moving folk hero Aaron Gordon. In the short term, the Heat are able to be like, we're gonna play Bam Adebayo and Aaron Gordon. Good luck. Like, defense, versatility, size, rebounding, small ball, passing, all of these types of things. And you're adding Cam Johnson, consummate professional. That's an upgrade over Andrew Wiggins. This is, I think, a deal that works for both sides. Most importantly, of course, it saves the Nuggets sweet, sweet cash. So that's the biggest pull here for them to be able to get within range of that Peyton Watson deal.
So both of these deals involve the Nuggets giving up the best player in the deal. They're not getting like
The
we can
two
just
here. They're giving up the two best players in this deal.
yeah, exactly. No, and the Jamal Murray deal as well. So like that's the reality of these types of moves. Like I don't think there's gonna be like a influx of picks out there for these guys. If there's going to be like a guy on a rookie scale who could project to be a Murray replacement, I don't think Scoot would. Obviously, no one here really projects to be that as well. So, like, you are really just trying to, redistribute the money so you can get as deep as possible. And you are very vastly changing a lot about the way the roster functions. I like the idea of them surrounding Jokic with a lot more versatile forwards, positive defensive wings. Like to have Mitchell, Andrew, and Scoot as your backcourt, like I think 29 teams would love to have that combination of guards with the way the NBA is trending. So with this trade, I forgot to mention as far as the salary cap stuff for this trade and the Murray trade. Because the Nuggets are going to be over the aprons when these deals happen, they cannot take back more money than they're sending out. So it's the 100% rule, but in both these deals, they are decreasing their payroll. The Blazers and the Heat, they're going to have plenty of flexibility where hypothetically, if they are two team trades, they could do these deals on their end. So overall, the Nuggets, they save a good amount of money and they are getting a little, they get much deeper. We already start to not only get reform their starters and like their top rotation guys, but they're already filling out the back end of the roster, having guys like Jakučonis and V. Krejci, Chris Murray, they're like kind of the back end guys, so they don't have to worry too much about filling up minimum guys a little later.
Yeah, you look at it. This deal saves 8.6 million. The Jamal Murray deal saves 5.9. So we're at 14 million. You chop off Jonas Valanciunas. That's 24 million. You decline Jalen Pickett. We're at 26 million sweet, sweet dollars of Stan Kroenke's money that we've managed to carve off. If we replace that with Peyton Watson at 18, look at this. We're like within, look how much money we've saved just in time for Christian Brown's extension to kick in.
So here is the roster we put together. Completely new starting lineup surrounding Jokic. We've got, other than keeping Christian Brown there, we got Holiday in there, Wiggins in there. We got Scoot, Mitchell, Chris Murray, Strother, all in for Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Zeke Nagy. Might be missing a couple other guys. We've got Peyton Watson's salary projection in here. This is like the lowest end ones where if the Nuggets really wanted to squeeze things, make it rough. It's unfortunate that that's how the nature of restricted free agency is. But if this is like the scenario where they want to squeeze him to something like 3 for $60, as Matt suggested, it could start as low as this amount. You got the other players, you got the other rookie scale guys here. We didn't touch on Spencer Jones, and I think it's pretty standard. So he's got early bird rights, but he's restricted. Same thing, like kind of with Peyton. I don't really think Jones has too much leverage in the situation, and he could be restricted again next year. So I think it's the situation for Denver where, okay, either take a one-year minimum or you will want you to take this multi-year minimum. Either way, you know, we're in a good position to keep you if you take a one-year minimum. They can then fill up the roster. They need to get to 14. They still are over the tax. So if they wanted to get under the tax, they're going to have to still make some big move to shed money, which would require one of their top six players. So obviously they need to see how the season goes before making any decision on that. But the biggest thing is they're at least below the second apron, which I think matters for the Nuggets given their draft pick situation. Because if you finish over the second apron, you wouldn't be able to trade your 2034 first round pick. And knowing how the Nuggets are kind of going year by year with this, to as far as whatever assets they have to do something, I think they're going to want that 2034 first round pick. Whether it's to make another upgrade or maybe to break that into multiple picks so they could do something else. So as long as they're below the second apron, I think they are in good shape. But obviously, if we're talking about trying to maximize the roster around Jokic 2, 3, 4 years from now while he's on this extension, it would be nice if they weren't in the repeater tax. So we'll see. I think it's a lot more challenging than it looks. It's a lot more challenging than it is. They'd have to really save a lot of money and cut somewhere else at like their top core 6, 7. But that's something they could revisit at the trade deadline. So, yeah, Matt, how do you feel about this roster? Well, how far do you think it could go?
Not very far. Like, they just lost Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Cam Johnson. And you replaced it with a rookie who was talked about as a bust before the playoffs. Jrue Holiday, who's on his last legs. We've got Andrew Wiggins somehow in this situation bumming around. Peyton Watson basically has to be a superstar. It's awful. This whole thing is awful. It's terrible. And the other thing is, like, I keep looking at that first apron number. They're going to have to drop $5 million just to be able to get to a position where they can take back enough of a less money when they dump Andrew Wiggins at the deadline for them to get under the tax.
And
a bad place.
And this is basically what they're like, you know, if you want to call it roster surgery would be, it's got to be through trades and re-signing their guys, because since they're still operating within the aprons, there's no mid-level. They could use the tax mid-level if they want, but that would really jack up their tax bill. That's really all they've got. There's no big mid-level. You can't sign and trade for free agents. You can't increase your payroll in the trade. It's unfortunate. This would be a completely fundamentally different episode had they taken Christian Braun to restricted free agency, or at least maybe gotten him a little closer to the mid-level. But at least if he was in restricted free agency, they wouldn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops just to keep Watson. And then, you know, they probably wouldn't have to trade like both Murray Gordon. Maybe they'd get to keep one of them. I think like a big trade was coming either way between them. So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, it's not the most inspiring thing, but I think you kind of put your kind of like realism cap on. Like the same thing when you came up with that Porter Jr. trade, I would not have wanted to attach a pick with Porter Jr. just to save a bunch of money this season, but they did it. So
Cam Johnson was honestly, you know, he shot 43% from three, was a total pro, was honestly really good, especially by the season's end. Like he was, I still back that trade given everything with Mike, including his health. We'll see kind of what happens with, Peyton Watson and his offers. It's really tough to find a team that needs Jamal Murray that has enough salary to send back that won't burden them more. That's the trick is, hey, you have to trade your second best player, hopefully come out better while spending less money. That's all the Nuggets have to do this summer.
Yeah, it'll be tough. Unfortunately, it's a just unfortunate situation they're in. And with the CBA the way it is, what it's incentivizing, it's going to be rough. I got nothing else.
It's
Matt,
tough.
thank you for joining me again. This was a lot of fun. Anything you want to plug us for to be on the lookout for?
You can catch me every day on Locked On NBA daily. I've got a piece I'm working on for Substack about how the regular season obscures the world of the playoffs and why the regular season still matters. You just can't see it until the playoffs. That's coming up
And
on Substack.
make sure, subscribe to his Substack. Make sure you guys are following him on Twitter, Blue Sky. And everyone, thank you for listening to Third Apron. If you're new here, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to my Substack as well. I'll eventually get into a deeper salary cap analysis on the Nuggets situation this offseason. Make sure you're following me on Twitter as well. My name, Yossi Goslin. I'll have all sorts of instant salary cap analysis when the Nuggets eventually do make some very big, drastic move. Thanks, everyone, and I'll see you for another team preview.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.